Good evening. My name's Stephen, and tonight's story is a fairy tale called The 17th Princess, written by Chris Advanson. So let your breath slow and your eyes fall heavy as we settle in for a magical journey. Once upon a time, in a faraway land, there was a glorious kingdom which dwelled on an island in the waters of a peaceful sea. It was known as the Kingdom of Lionwood. All around the coastline of the island, balmy waves washed up against a boundary of majestic mountains, their peaks rising into misty clouds. And nestled within the mountains was a lush valley with forests, fields, rivers, and orchards. In the very centre of the valley, enclosed in stone walls, there was a bustling village, the heart of the Kingdom of Lionwood, where workers and craftspeople busied themselves with the spinning of yarn, the fixing of tools, and the making of food. And in the middle of the village, a magnificent castle stood like a monument, with lofty turrets rising at each of its corners. It was the residence of His Majesty the King of Lionwood, a kind and jovial man who would walk about the village, a golden crown upon his head, greeting villagers with tidings of peace and prosperity. Living alongside the king in the royal castle were his daughters, the 17 princesses of Lionwood, who helped the king to manage the affairs of the kingdom. Outside the walls of the village, there lived abundant portions of all the plants and creatures a kingdom could need. Far to the north, there were thick woodlands, where deer, foxes, and birds lived among towering trees. To the south, there were pristine orchards, where apples, peaches, and pears ripened on trees that rolled atop hills. To the east, there was a rambling river that flowed between fields, where horses and cows lazed in pastures and grazed on grasses. And far to the west, there were fertile fields of golden wheat, flourishing stalks that shone in the sun, blew in the wind, and rose to the shoulder. But surrounding the village was the island's pride and joy, the treasure for which the Kingdom of Lionwood was known and adored. Expanding outward, just beyond the stone walls of the village, were fields of tulips. Thick, plush, beautiful tulips. They grew in concentric circles, each rounded row a different colour, as if a stunning circular rainbow. Some were ocean blue, some velvet red, some the orange you see only in a sunset. Some were rare colours, like creamy white, raven black, and an impossible shade of purple. Curving between the rows of tulips, there were narrow pathways, paved with flat stones of all different shapes, an elaborate puzzle pieced together with the care of 1,000 workers. It was known as the Garden of Tulips, and it was an absolute marvel. Every day, teams of royal planters and growers would tend to the bounty of flowers, clipping, scooping, and watering, caring for each individual specimen one by one. The sun, the soil, the water, the air, and all that concerned the tulips was of great importance to the kingdom. And that was because every spring the kingdom would host the Festival of Tulips, a grand occasion that called on the efforts of every person in the kingdom. In the month of May, visitors would come from faraway lands. Explorers, travellers, and merchants arrived on ships by the thousands to witness the spectacular garden of tulips in full bloom. Millers, farmers, and teachers, mothers, fathers, and children, they would all walk the pathways among acres of tulips, gazing with delight. Just a stroll amid the tulips brought smiles to the faces and joy to the hearts of visitors. When a breeze picked up, it was as though a gentle wave caressed the surface of a colourful sea. It was said that a springtime amble through the garden of tulips would leave visitors enchanted and uplifted, sending them home with a sense of peace that would last for weeks. So it was, and so it had been for generations, that the kingdom of Lionwood had remained peaceful and prosperous. One spring day in the month of May, the king gathered his 17 daughters to discuss the forthcoming festival. They assembled at dawn in the Garden of Tulips, with the princesses standing in a circle from eldest to youngest. That morning, the entire island of Lionwood bloomed with the freshness of springtime. Bright green buds abounded on saplings, bushes, and vines. Birds chirped their melodies from tree branches, and as the first light of day shone up behind the distant mountains, the king called a very important meeting to order. "My dearest daughters," he began, "it is with high concern that we meet this morning, for the festival is but days away, and our garden is behind schedule." He went on to explain that for some mysterious reason, the tulips simply weren't blossoming. The princesses all looked around. And indeed, the king was right. Thousands upon thousands of tulips sat in the early morning air, row upon row, rolling out beyond the village, and all of them, every single flower, was closed shut. The sturdy green stems rose up from rich soil, and the long green pods rested on healthy pedestals. But the tulip pods were all closed. "Given the time of year, they should be in full bloom by now," said the king. "If our beloved flowers don't bloom in the next 2 days, we will have to cancel the festival of tulips." Whispers of worry spread among the princesses. No one could make any sense of it, because all had been done with extraordinary care to ensure that the tulips bloomed on time. In fact, conditions were quite close to perfect. Rains had been reasonable, temperatures temperate, and the soil was as rich and fertile as ever. The king asked his daughters for help, for he couldn't understand what had gone wrong. "I turn to you all, my wise and able daughters, to help discover the cause of this conundrum." The king then went around the circle, starting with his eldest and tallest, and working down to the youngest and smallest. But princess after princess could only shrug in disbelief. None of them knew what could be done. The king finally arrived at the youngest, Princess Abigail, who stood quietly, a curious look on her face. Abigail was bright and freckled, with hair unsettled, and a purple dress swayed from her nimble frame. She was the princess whose mind would wander, while her sisters were up in the castle planning schedules and keeping records. Abigail would be down in the stables, feeding apples to donkeys and brushing the fur of baby goats. "Well, I may have something," began Princess Abigail, straightening the silver crown on her head. "But it's really more of a suggestion than an idea, my dear father." "Yes, my love," said the king. "Well," she went on, "instead of keeping this concern amongst ourselves, why not invite ideas from the rest of the kingdom? Between the smiths and cooks, farmers and tailors, rope makers and bookbinders, there's bound to be someone on this island with an idea." The princesses all appeared hopeful, but the king's face flushed with embarrassment. "Certainly not," he said in a hushed tone. "At such an important juncture, with our cherished festival at stake, I think it very unwise to send a rumbling of concern across the kingdom. We must keep this matter among the experts and avoid causing a wave of dismay." And with that, the meeting ended, and the princesses returned to the castle. The king remained in the Garden of Tulips, where he summoned the official heads of every royal department one could imagine. Horticulture, floristry, botany, even mathematics and astronomy. He spent the day pacing the garden, his brow furrowed in thought, as a flurry of workers motioned about, balancing water, harrowing soil, and measuring stems. But as dusk fell over the kingdom of Lionwood, and the moon mounted its journey across the night sky, the tulips remained closed, and an explanation was nowhere to be seen. Later that night, when the villagers had retired to their dwellings, and the kingdom had fallen to stillness, young Abigail tiptoed down the winding stairs of her lofty turret and made her way to the stables. There she found her favourite animal in the kingdom, an adorable baby goat named Isaac. He had scruffy little ears and fur of sandy brown. Isaac greeted the princess with a playful little trot, happy but cumbrous on his four tiny hooves. "Come, my little one," said Abigail to Isaac, "we're going on a journey." She took Isaac out of his stable and led him across the village until they came upon a hatch covered with loose hay. She opened the hatch, carried Isaac down into a secret tunnel, and they set off down a passageway under the village. A short while later, they arrived at an underground cellar, opened its hatch, and stepped outside into stalks of wheat that rose to the shoulder. They had reached the outside of the village. Abigail looked back at the castle, rising from the village under moonlight. She took a slow breath, smiled at little Isaac, and the two set off in the night through stalks of wheat. The next morning, the king learned of Abigail's departure, and he was struck with sadness. He enlisted a team of guardspeople to search the fields and farms for his daughter, and then the king returned to the garden to continue efforts to solve the closure of the tulips. Even more workers and thinkers were called in, and activity in the Garden of Tulips swelled. Meanwhile, Abigail and Isaac awoke under an oak tree at the foothills of the mountains. Abigail peered out across the valley and spotted the village in the distance, but a grey speck many hills and fields away. It was a beautiful spring day. Sunlight poured over the island, and an air of optimism whistled in the breeze. Just then, a bird landed on a branch and chirped a welcoming call. It was a nightingale, white-breasted, with feathery brown wings and a yellow beak. "Hello there," Abigail said. "A fine morning to you," replied the friendly bird, as he noticed the silver crown on Abigail's head. "And what brings a princess so far from her castle?" She presented herself as Abigail, the 17th Princess of Lionwood, and introduced Isaac as her royal adviser. "We come in search of an answer," Abigail explained. "The tulips have yet to bloom, and we wish to know why. So we're travelling the island, seeking wisdom from whomever we find." "A royal expedition? How marvellous," said the nightingale. "I know little of tulips, but I know the land very well. Perhaps I could come along as your navigator." Abigail agreed that this was a splendid idea, and soon they were off, the nightingale flying just ahead, Abigail keeping step, and Isaac trotting just a wee bit behind. With the nightingale's expert navigation, the trio made its way far across the island of Lionwood. They hiked over hills and roamed across rivers. They ventured through fields and forests. They passed farms with farmhouses and meadows with windmills. And along the way, every time they crossed paths with someone new, they shared the puzzle of the tulips and asked for wisdom. They spoke to young and old, farmers, fishers, and woodsfolk, people who chatted freely, and people who said but a few words. But no one had an answer. It seemed that in the memory of every person in the kingdom, there had never been a festival of tulips when the flowers wouldn't bloom. When Abigail, Isaac, and the nightingale stopped for a rest at the bank of a brook, they wondered what to do next. In the kingdom's living memory, this closing of the tulips seems to be unprecedented, said Abigail, discouragement growing in her voice. Just then, Abigail noticed a furry grey cat walking aside the brook. He sat down beside them, as though he'd been invited, and freed a leisurely yawn from his whiskery face. "A fine day to watch the brook, wouldn't you say?" declared the cat. Abigail smiled at this confident creature. "A beautiful day indeed, but a woeful time for me and my friends," she replied, and she went on to explain her story to the cat. "I know someone believed to be the oldest person in the kingdom," the cat said. "She's a wise old wanderer who lives halfway up the mountains. I wonder if she would have an idea to share." "How well do you know this wise wanderer?" Abigail asked. "For years I have paid her a visit every week," assured the cat. "She gives me food and water. She's very gentle and kind." The princess looked to Isaac, and then to the nightingale. It had been a long journey, a wearying day, and everyone's eyelids were tired and heavy. But this may have been their last remaining hope. Abigail agreed to the cat's proposal, and so it was that a young princess, a baby goat, a nightingale, and a cat marched off toward the mountains in search of wisdom. Abigail and her three friends had been travelling up steep terrain under the shade of trees for some time when they came upon a clearing. They had voyaged through woodlands halfway up the mountain, the confident cat leading them over every rock and pine cone. they stepped into the sunlight and looked out across the valley below at the sight of the green colour of the garden of tulips far below. The princess could see that the flowers still hadn't bloomed. Abigail noticed a woman just off the clearing. She was sitting silently on a flat rocky surface, looking out over the valley, a soft smile on her face. "Ah, there's my friend, the wise wanderer," said the cat. They all ambled over to say hello to a short, peaceful woman with grey hair and green eyes. "Hello to my visitors," she said warmly, "and welcome to my mountainside home." Her smile put everyone at ease. Isaac even greeted the woman with a playful little trot, the nightingale on her shoulder. Abigail sat on a nearby rock. The wanderer petted Isaac on one side and the cat on the other. "Thank you," said Abigail. "We've come in search of wisdom." Abigail shared the whole story, the tulips, the festival, and their journey to find an answer. As she explained, the wanderer just smiled and nodded. When Abigail was finished, all eyes looked to the wanderer, searching her face for a hint of an answer. But she didn't say a word. She just continued to gaze out across the valley, a soft smile on her face. After a few moments passed, the others had joined the wanderer's stare across the valley, enjoying the moment in a quiet state of serenity. Surrounding the clearing, all down the side of the mountain, was a forest thick with trees, their branches swaying in the afternoon breeze. Below, patches of yellow and green fields wove between tree-covered hills. A shimmering river wound through meadows, where horses lounged in tall grass. In the centre of the valley, the magnificent castle climbed up above the village walls. And as Abigail peered across the valley, the entire kingdom seemed calm and peaceful. From this distance, even the unwavering green of the garden of tulips seemed beautiful. The whole scene was so peaceful, so breathtaking, it felt impossible to dream up a single problem or concern. A while passed, and everyone just beheld the beauty in silence. Finally, the wise wanderer cleared her throat and began to speak. "I've found that up in these mountains, things that once seemed very big become very small. If I have a question, I don't hold it with a tight grip. I release it, allowing the question to escape and disappear. I am left with no answer, but with peace. And if the question comes upon an answer, it will return to me in time." Abigail pondered for a long, thoughtful moment. Then she smiled and got up to leave. She and the others thanked the wise wanderer and made their way back down the mountain. On their way back to the village, through forests, fields, rivers, and meadows, Abigail and her animal friends were filled with a quiet acceptance. The journey and the wise wanderer had helped the princess to see that things such as tulips cannot be forced. It was the late afternoon when Abigail and her friends arrived back at the Garden of Tulips. The king greeted Princess Abigail with immense relief. "Your safe return brings me great joy," he said to his daughter. With the festival scheduled to open the next day, and the flowers still closed shut, the king had scores of workers in the garden, all rushing to solve the mystery of the tulips. Abigail recounted to her father the story of her journey. She told him of the nightingale, the confident cat, and the wisdom she'd found on a mountainside. The king could see that young Abigail was quite sincere. A peaceful acceptance emanated from her, and the king found himself in agreement with his daughter. At once he made a royal announcement that efforts to solve the mystery of the tulips were to cease immediately. The kingdom would simply have to accept that the flowers would bloom on their own time. Inspired by Princess Abigail, the king ordered that the entire kingdom would have an evening of rest. Everyone gathered in the square of the village for a copious feast. There were jesters and stories. There was music and dancing. And everyone attended. Princess Abigail and her 16 sisters, the king, as well as every farmer and worker, child and teacher of the kingdom. Even the nightingale and the cat sat on a bale of hay, watching the festivities, as Isaac marked the occasion with a playful little trot. The kingdom had finally let go of its puzzling problem, and in the absence of an answer, it found peace. Later, as celebrants were winding down and heading home, Abigail padded up the stairs to her chamber with her three friends in tow. They entered her chamber. The animals settled in the corner, and Abigail went to the terrace to take in the air of twilight. She looked out upon the soft spring night, and as the breeze met her cheek, she felt a soothing peace wash over her. The sun was retreating behind the mountains, and the sky was filled with a sublime fusion of deep blues, pinks, and purples. The stars were appearing against the darkening sky, and Abigail almost felt as though she could hear the balmy waves washing up against the distant shore. When she looked downward, to her astonishment, something else was filled with colour. The Garden of Tulips had finally bloomed. There they were, thick, plush, beautiful tulips, in glorious bloom at long last. She thought back to the words of the wise wanderer. Indeed, the kingdom had released its tight grip on the trouble of the tulips, and set the question free. And with time, the answer had come. As with so much else in life, when we step back with patience and let things be. Vividly, wonderfully, they bloom. Abigail admired the tulips for a few deep breaths, her eyes poring over row upon row of colourful flowers. She smiled a warm smile and turned to head inside. Isaac settled himself in the corner and curled up on the blanket. The confident cat curled up by his side, and the nightingale perched on a nearby mantel. Princess Abigail climbed into bed, snuggled into her pillow, and allowed her weight to sink down under a cloud of covers. She closed her eyes, breathed deep breaths, and drifted off to her dreams. And so it was that the 17th princess fell fast asleep as a circular sea of tulips bloomed, and the moon mounted its journey across the night sky.